How's your car looking? Showing its age? Faded paint? Dents? Dings? Don't worry. Maaco is here to help. They're the experts in affordable paint jobs and light collision repairs, helping you keep your car looking its best without breaking the bank. With Maaco's national reach and community focus, you're not just getting top-notch service. You're actually getting a partner you can trust. Visit your local Maaco today and see how they can refresh your ride. Go in, get the free estimate, and the expert technicians will handle the rest. Uh-oh, better get Maaco.
Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes. Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Welcome to part two of our interview with Chris Balachon about his experience as a paranormal paramedic. Let me ask you this, and I want to hear about some of the investigations that you've gone on. But before we start talking about that, I want to ask you about just you in the field as a paramedic. Have you ever had any sort of paranormal experiences when not investigating, but just doing your job?
Believe it or not, I get asked that quite a bit.
Yeah.
And I have always said the same thing. Not that I have recognized. And the reason is, when I was in a paramedic, and if I'm in the back of a medic working on somebody who's dead or dying, my mind isn't switched to the paranormal. My mind is switched to, this is a fight between me and death. And I've got to do everything I can to win. So therefore, if they do die, most of the time I don't switch to paranormal. You know, I'm still in paramedic phase of, okay, is there anything else I can do to try to reverse this? So I to be honest, no, I haven't. Now, I've had something when I worked for a different fire department, you know, that was kind of creepy. But it wasn't medical.
What was that?
So, and this one I got to say on the show Paranormal Emergency. We were... worked for Williamsburg Fire Department, so we kind of handled Colonial Williamsburg. And we got a fire alarm at like 2 o'clock in the morning one morning in one of these historic buildings. They don't use it for anything. You can't tour it. It's like you got to have a private membership to come in there or whatever. So as we were waiting for their security to come to unlock the door, we just kind of did circled around the building to make sure nobody broken in, nothing out of the ordinary we could see. And there wasn't. So when they opened the door, I went to the left, Lieutenant went to the right. And I come to the big room, and there was a fire extinguisher in the middle of the room that had been expelled, but there was a cobweb from the handle to the corner of the wall. And there was no footprints in this stuff, either in that room or walking out. Now, that's kind of impossible. If you're going to, cover a whole room, you're going to track something somewhere, and there was none. And so I was like, okay. And I called the team over. I said, you see this? This is kind of weird. You kind of brush off. Yeah, okay, whatever. I'm like, no, this doesn't make sense. And that's kind of when I started going, okay, what's really going on here? That's kind of when I went from fire to paranormal. Because at this time, everything's normal. There's no imminent danger. But so now I'm going, well, what's this about? What I wasn't aware of, is the driver outside of the, that drove the fire truck, looked across the street, and he saw this guy riding a bike, and he's like, that's kind of weird, 2 o'clock in the morning, somebody's riding a bike. Well, as he got closer, he realized it was a grayish-white figure, and then it went unbelievably fast and disappeared. And he was like, okay. He wasn't going to say no. I'm telling him, look, whatever happened with that extinguisher, that's not normal. I'm telling you, something happened. And they just, you know, as the fire department, we were at each other. So I got it for about a day or so until finally we were talking about it. And the driver says, okay, I wasn't going to say anything. I didn't want to sound crazy, but here's what I saw when y'all were inside. And everybody was like, really? And I was like, see, I told y'all something else was going on. So that was the one story that I had that was, I believe, was really paranormal.
Sure. When you look back on some of your experiences as a paramedic, I mean, you are there at the moment of, you know, a critical moment in someone's life. It could be life or death. In many cases, it is. People are fighting for their lives, and you are there to help them hopefully stay on the living side. Looking back at those moments, do you feel that you've ever had a time where there was some sort of a supernatural intervention that kept someone going or heard from someone that you helped once they had recovered with any sort of story of, you know, I don't know how this happened, or I saw something when this was going on that really felt unexplainable?
I can tell you there are multiple vehicle accidents I have been on where people walk away, maybe not too hurt, and I go, how? This isn't possible. There's no way with the mechanics of everything that just happened, and say we've had to extricate them, that you were still alive. There's no way. So that's where I've gotten with that, as in, you know, something else intervening.
Sure.
I haven't had anybody else come to me and say they've had near-death experience or anything like that.
Yeah. And sometimes you just got to look at those situations where you may not have seen, you know, something reach a hand in and move somebody just to the perfect location in the vehicle for survival, where, you know, one millimeter that way, gone. But the odds, you know, are just not there for it to have happened that way. But somehow it has. So let's start talking a little bit more about some of the investigations that you've gone on, some of the locations that you've researched. To you, I want to hear what, when you look back on this retrospectively of, you know, being into this for more than 10 years, what to you has been one of the most active locations that you've investigated that's, you know, just stands out as, wow, that was an experience?
Hands down would be St. Albans. Hands down.
And what happened there?
You name it. So the first time I've ever been there, and it's in Radford, Virginia, so it's about 3 hours from where I live.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to, because I was a guest at an event, and I was going to lecture, and then, you know, do a public investigation. So the place is huge. I mean, absolutely huge. So my wife is actually my case manager on the team, and she comes to with me with a lot of the paranormal paramedic stuff and lecture stuff. So we were downstairs. We were put in one area in this room. And they're like, the guy that put the whole thing together, he goes, I'm going to put you through this room, but I can't go into it because every time I do, I physically get ill. And I said, well, that's where I want to be. So, I guess I'm a glutton for punishment, or I just want to see if it's true. So we sit down there, and we're just, you know, hanging out. And we start seeing shadows everywhere, just kind of peeking in and out and in and out. And we're like, well, this is kind of cool. Kind of odd, but it's kind of cool. We asked one of the people, the volunteers for this place. They have volunteers that work through there, you know, year-round. We're like, what's the deal with that? They said, whoa. Those are the spirits around here. They're just trying to, they're inquisitive because they don't know who you are. So they're curious on who you are. So you're going to see a lot of them. And we did. And then we're sitting in these chairs, and my wife kind of kicks her foot out. And I'm like, what's wrong with you? She goes, something just grabbed my ankle. And I was like, okay, kind of cool. You know, later on in that night, she kind of goes, okay, that's enough. And I was like, what are you talking about? She goes, I just felt like what a kid would do, crawl up my back and put their arms around my neck and their legs around my waist. And I was like, and she goes, and I felt it. Like, I could feel like there was somebody really there. And I'm like, that's kind of cool, too. Well, later on, somebody had one of those SLS cameras. Now, I'm not a fan of them now that I've done more research on them. There's a lot of glitches in it. But at the time, this guy had one, and, you know, he was just scanning, and he scanned up this wall, and it showed a, I've never seen a little one. At the time, I'd never seen a little stick figure show, but it showed on the wall, and it started crawling up the wall. And I was like, well, if that's real, then that explains what you felt on your back. That was just the first time being there. Every other time, I have seen shadows everywhere. I've seen, at one point in time, my wife said there was just humongous shadow behind me. I started doing, that's where I actually got the waveform for the EKG, is where I did that experiment. It wasn't my first time, but it was one of the times I was doing more of it. And what else happened? Oh, that's where I, and then I had my pulse ox on, and I was with a group of friends, and I'm like, my pulse just went up. Mark this time, and in 30 to 45 seconds, something's going to happen. And within 30 to 45 seconds, they had like this big vinyl like cover over a door, and something smacked it. And it was loud. And I was like, I told you. What did I tell you?
Yeah.
So those are some of the experiences. I absolutely love the place. It has never, I've never been there where it is not active.
When someone had warned you at the beginning and said, I don't want to go to this specific area because it makes me sick to my stomach, have you ever had a experience, whether it be there or any location, where you physically suddenly it came over you, an illness or a feeling of sickness just came over you because of the location that you were at?
It was at a private residence, and it was a very brief time. The homeowners were just taking us on a tour of the house, and we get into one room, and everything started spinning so much that I had to hold on to something. And then I looked at one of my members, and I said, I've got to leave this room for a minute. I don't know if I'm going to be able to stand up. So I don't know what it was. And then after, you know, I got away from it for a while, I went back in, everything was good. So I don't know what it was. I don't know if it was because the lights were on and they may have a higher electromagnetic field and I'm just more sensitive to it or what. But whatever it was, it physically made me dizzy to a point where I thought I was going to fall out.
When things like that happen, and this is obviously kind of an opinion-based question, but I'd love to know yours from your experience when you had that happen to you, or when anyone has that sort of thing happen, because obviously you're not alone when individuals have that sort of an experience at a haunted location. Is that ever a sign of anything specific going on? One could guess, oh, this is the beginning of something trying to attach itself or take over an individual. Or you could be talking about something that is more explainable, where it's an electromagnetic field and your body's just reacting naturally. It's truly a chemical reaction of some sort that's going on within your body. But where do you take that? What do you believe is happening when individuals in mass have these sort of feelings for no real explainable reason?
So it could be something there that is messing with them physiologically,
mm-hmm.
Or it could be in their head. And that's where the research is getting really kind of, you know, borderline, is because you don't know, is somebody going to go, it's in their head that their place has already got stuff going on. So are they, you know, psychologically freaking themselves out and then it's doing it to themselves?
Sure.
You know? But, you know, with those, that, to me, I just chalk those up as personal experiences.
Yeah.
You can't prove otherwise, you know? So that's what I'll do with those, just chalk them up as personal experiences. What I've done with a lot of my people now is if we're going to a place that may, you know, seem to be really good, I won't tell them anything. They just know we're going to a place that's called us out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to tell them anything, because if they go in blind, they're going to be neutral. They don't know what's going on. So they're not going to, you know, psych themselves out of, okay, over here is where they see this. So
let me ask you this question, and this is another opinion-based question. Some will say one way, some will say another, but this basing on your experience, is there ever a location that you would deem to be too dangerous to investigate. And I'm not talking about it because it has a floor that's falling apart and the building is physically decrepit and condemned, but because the activity is just too negative or just oppressive that it's not worth going in and trying to investigate, because there's nothing that's going to be found here other than we're all going to walk away from this really not feeling great about what happened.
So with my opinion on that one, are there places that are very dark? Yes. Do I think inexperienced investigators should go into them? No. That's why if I feel that if we get a case that could be kind of negative or nasty or has been nasty, I'm only bringing my experience. Because the inexperienced ones, and I'm, again, this is all hypothetical and all that, but
sure.
If it's nasty and they're not strong enough, it can absolutely attach to them and affect them, and they can take it back. So you have to be experienced and strong-willed for you, for me to take you with.
Is there ever a true or a foolproof way to protect oneself when investigating a location like that? Obviously, experience is helpful, and that can certainly play a big role from someone who knows nothing about what they're doing to have an idea on do this, don't do that. But is there ever a way, even with the most experienced of investigator in a very negative type situation, to go in and get out without having anything attached guaranteed?
That's a good question. I don't think it's ever 100% that you won't. You know, you take the right precautions, depending on what it is. If it's like truly like demonic, most of the time, and I haven't dealt with any demonic cases, but I've talked to the people that have.
Yeah.
You know, the people that are the foremost known people in the field for that. And mainly what it is, if it's a demonic case, they're attached to one person and one person only. And until they've either been removed from that person or it's done what it's wanted to, it stays with that person. It will not go anywhere else. It will not attach to anybody else. It's not saying that it can't, you know, have something else happen to you, but it's mainly attached to that one person.
When it comes to things like that that are dark and are demonic, and I know these terms get thrown around far too loosely in this world, but it is interesting, obviously. And I think sometimes discussing it and putting it into perspective of reality is important. So maybe they're not thrown around as loosely as they are. Is it always a case where, if there is something, in fact, that is demonic or just something that's really, you know, evil or maybe a human that was just an ass and was an ass in life and is an ass in death and is still hanging out somewhere. Is it always that it's a person that has something demonic attached to it for the sake of this part of the conversation? Or can it be a building? Can a building have something demonic in it where there isn't a living person in there that has the attachment? It's hanging out just in a space and just almost waiting for someone to come in, and it's going to torment whoever goes into that space.
I haven't done a whole lot of research into the demonic aspects of it, but I do believe that, yes, it actually can be attached to something or to a building.
Mm-hmm.
And it may not attach to anybody. It may just stay there, and whoever comes there is going to cause hate and discontent with.
Sure. When you go in for an investigation, I know for the longest time before, I guess, you know, pre 10, 15 years ago, to the explosion of ghost investigations, the thought process so many times was, oh, you go into the building with the ghost and you help them cross over. You help them. It's a kind of an arrogant way of looking at it of, I'm your savior. I'm here. I'm going to help you. But
right.
when you go in to an investigation, documenting what's going on, what is the ultimate goal of an investigation today for your team? Is it to simply document, to say yes and confirm there is something going on here? Is it to remove? Is it to help? What exactly are you going into investigations with as a goal?
So the goal I give my clients is we're here to give you answers. We will get you answers. Now, they may not be the ones you want, but we'll give you answers. When it comes to people saying, oh, well, we'll just, you know, we're coming in to rid it of whatever. Well, my issue with that is, first off, just because you do an investigation one night doesn't mean you know anything. You have to do a couple of them. We usually do 2 to 3 before we can actually pinpoint what's going on. Sometimes it's even longer than that. At that point, what we do, and I think should be more of a thing of, all right, well, that's it. We're going to get rid of it. Okay, well, first you have to classify what it is. And to do that, you have to have enough, you know, evidence to show this is what it is, whether it be residual, whether it be an intelligent, or, you know, whether it's malevolent, benevolent, you know, whatever. You have to classify it first. Because that at that point, residual, it may never go away. It's just, it is what it is. You know, if it's evil, we have people we can call. If it's intelligent, to be honest with you, this is what I tell my clients. If it's answering questions that we're asking, is intelligent, here's what you need to do. As a family, get in the middle of the house, stand up and say, this is our house. If you're going to be here, these are the rules. And set rules. And even if they're really, if we haven't found anything, but they swear there's something there, giving them that power, a lot of times gets rid of whatever they think is there. It's because it's psychological to them. They have now taken the power back to their house. So they now feel more comfortable and more safe in their own house.
That wraps up part two of our interview with Chris Balasone about his experience as a paranormal paramedic in life as a paranormal investigator. Until next time for the Grave Talks, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Mr. Monopoly here. Monopoly is back at McDonald's. Register in the McDonald's app so you're ready to
get your bag.
Two ways to peel for a chance to
get your bag.
Physical peels with select items and digital peels with others to
get your bag.
Play Monopoly at McDonald's.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
No purchase necessary. See rules at playatmcd.com for full details and amoe.playatmcd.com to play without purchase. Ends November 23rd, but bonus play ends November 2nd. Monopoly is a registered trademark of Hasbro. Copyright McDonald's.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes. Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes. Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes. Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.